This is the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminem. Before we get to our next piece of Fix 18 content, I'm just going to remind you that Fix 19 speaker application is available. It's open now through December 31st. So head on over to the Feminem website, look in that event section, and you'll find the application. We're going to need a proposed title for your talk, as well as a blurb, so give us a sense of what you're going to say, how it's going to contribute to the education of our Fix audience. Just a few sentences is fine. And then this year, we're strongly encouraging a video pitch. I don't want this to stress you out. It doesn't have to be polished or fantastic. We just really want to get a sense of who you are and what your idea is. Okay, so moving on to our next Fix 18 content. This is from Dr. Nick Gorton. It's called If You Thought Lady Docs Had It Bad. Now, Dr. Gorton is an openly gay and transgendered physician, so he has practiced emergency medicine both as a woman and now as a man from both sides of that gender aisle, so he can really talk about what it's like on both sides of that, and he can share with us his experiences as a transgender physician. Enjoy.
Thanks very much. So I was just outed, which is fine. What that means is I was assigned female at birth, and then after I finished my residency at Kings County in Brooklyn, I moved to Louisiana and decided to transition there, which was a lot of fun. But I'm going to come back to that. So I identify as trans, but also as a nerd. So even if I'm talking about sex and gender, there's going to be some math involved. And in particular, the idea of goodness of fit. And what that means is, does your model fit your data well, right? So this is average global temperature since the industrial age, and so the model fits the data pretty well, unless you're a climate denialist, and then not so much. So Dr. Madeline Heilman proposed in the 80s a theory that lack of fit is actually what prevented women from advancing in their careers. And so her theory was that we all have a mental model and implicit biases about what women are and about what men are, but we have the same kind of biases about certain jobs. So if a woman was applying for a job that is, you know, stereotypically a male job, then she wouldn't fit well. Her model wouldn't fit well with that. And so she would suffer descriptive and prescriptive consequences. And by descriptive, primarily she's just not getting that job, right? So our implicit biases about women are that they have all these sort of service-oriented or communal traits, and men have all these achievement-oriented or agentic traits. And if we graph that, there's no graph, but that's okay. There's one right there. So, you know, as you can imagine, the pink things are very high in the communal traits and vice versa with the male bars. So, and we also have these same kind of biases about jobs, and there are differences between jobs, right? The characteristics you need for one job and another job are different, but the biases that we have vastly exaggerate that. So what if we take our model of our biases about women and about men, and that's gone too. So anyway, if you can imagine, in this case, our biases about women better match the job of midwife, right? So it's a good fit, so we hire that person. Now if you look at a stereotypically agentic or masculine job, and you take women and you fit it to that, and you can imagine the pink things are on the other side. So women are a bad fit for that. We kind of all know this is horseshit. The woman on the right is Professor Alexa Kennedy. She's the first African-American neurosurgeon in the U.S. And the guy on the right is a bit of a unicorn. He's a male midwife. So, but our biases aren't just descriptive, they're prescriptive. So a woman who has more agentic traits faces consequences for this non-normative behavior. And in our neurosurgical model, and again, imagine the little pink bars there. So in our neurosurgical model, if a woman is tough and decisive and independent, she is seen as a better fit for that job, but she has consequences because of that non-normative behavior. And so she faces these kind of prescriptive biases, right? And if you're old enough to remember the television show MASH, a great example of this is Major Houlihan, right? So she was very agentic, and she suffered all these consequences, right? If she, in fact, her agentic traits were crucial to some of the plots of the episodes. And usually what they would do is at the end of the episode, they would fix it by showing beneath her rough exterior, she was actually very feminine, and that was the solution in the during the television show. But she did experience all these. She was criticized if she did her job right, and if she was recognized, it was very reluctantly, right? And television uses this because they like to create cognitive distortions, so we don't, we don't see what we think we're supposed to see, and that kind of confuses us and sets up a little tension. And then at the end of the show, they relieve the cognitive distortion, generally by validating the biases that we had. So not in a good way. I should go back one. Oh, it really does go back, okay. So prescriptive biases also underlie problems with advancement and pay. And the more vague the criteria that we use to judge those things, the more likely it is to be biased. So if you're talking about patients seen per hour or papers published, that's less biased. But something nebulous like how well you get along with residents, that's much more prone to bias. So here's an example from emergency medicine. And you see the left picture and it makes you happy, and you see the right picture and it makes you need new underwear. And so if you think somebody might have epiglottitis, you might say, hey, let's not jump to intubating, let's collect a little bit more data, which is great. If you're a guy, from a guy that's seen as being judicious, from a woman that's seen as being passive. If you say, let's get anesthesia and ENT down here in case this goes south, from a woman that's seen as incompetence, from a man that's seen as being prudent. And that's all prescriptive biases. So now we've talked about the whole poor fit model. I'm gonna go back to talking about my transition. Did we get them this time? We got half of them. Okay, so nobody's a stereotype, right? If you could see the other graph, you would see that the sort of stereotypical job of an ER doctor is in blue, and I kind of graphed myself in pink. And it was, kind of mostly straight across, because all of us, men, women, cisgender, transgender, doesn't matter. We all have all these qualities, right? And so by descriptive bias, the stuff on the left, those communal traits, I didn't get any credit for that, right? But I certainly experienced prescriptive bias if I didn't live up to that, right? So if a patient asks for a blanket and I say, sure, I'll have your nurse bring you one, if you're a guy, that's okay, because men are expected to be non-communal. But if you're a woman, you're an unfeeling bitch, right? and it's even worse if they think you're a nurse, which, by the way, since I've transitioned, has happened to me exactly 0 times. So the other consequence is that if you excel in those agentic traits, the ones on the right, you create that cognitive distortion, and so you're seen as not being how you're supposed to be. But then I transitioned, and wow. Yeah, so first off, all those negative consequences that I experienced because of my agentic traits, that went away. And I totally expected that to happen. But what I didn't expect was that all those communal traits put me in what I call the Schweitzer zone, right? Which is essentially, if I brought somebody a blanket, I was Albert fucking Schweitzer. Right? I was no longer a bitch, I was assertive. I gained about 20 IQ points. And let me give you another example of this. So I was transferring this toddler to another hospital, and the EMS and the nurse are in the room, and the kid's mom goes out to the car to get the car seat. So I'm sitting at the nurse's station, I hear shrieking from the room. So I run in the room, and there's 3 guys there that could all generously be described as socially awkward. And literally the nurse and paramedic are up against the wall like this. And the EMT is sitting there patting the bed in front of the kid saying, "It's okay, baby, it's okay." The kid is howling. So I go over and I pick up the kid, right? The kid calms down immediately. Mom follows me in about 10 seconds later. So she kind of heard this, and then she saw me do this basic, normal human thing, pick up a kid who's crying, right? I didn't think anything about this. And then 2 weeks later, the CEO of my hospital and the chief of my division get this glowing three-page letter about what an amazing doctor I was. And that was a bad night. I don't agree with her. I wasn't a good doctor that night. But then on top of that, there were two full paragraphs about picking up a baby, right? So this kind of begs the question, oops. Oh, that's a bad one. This kind of begs the question, why aren't all male ER doctors in the Schweitzer zone, right? First off, they are. You do any halfway decent communal behavior and there's an infinite supply of cookies for you if you're doing it. The thing is, though, there is a little bit of a difference because men or boys are socialized a little different from girls. Girls are encouraged to have communal traits, boys agentic traits. And so there is a difference, but it's not nearly as huge as you would suggest. So, as bad as you think it is, I can tell you it's actually a whole lot worse. And for me, transitioning was like learning to play a video game on the super hard mode, and then I'm getting pretty good at it, and then all of a sudden you're on the easy mode and you're like, wow, this is like super easy. So this kind of sucks, right? How do we change it? So first we have to address implicit biases about people, but also about jobs. So if you're advertising for an ER job, list the communal traits that are a requirement for candidates, right? The other stuff goes without saying, you don't have to say it, you know? Take 30 minutes of your time this week and go to Harvard's Project Implicit and take their classes, or their tests rather. They have these tests that tell you exactly how racist, sexist, homophobic you are. They even have one that says, do you think Trump supporters are idiots? And I actually scored rather high on that one. Notice those biases. And even if you take Project Implicit and you feel really bad, you can have a glass of wine and just fake it till you make it, right? Because the first step towards being kind of good at something is sucking at that same thing, right? So you can make progress if you know there's an issue. The other thing too is, thank God for younger people, because my generation does not get this as much as millennials do. So if nothing else, just dying is gonna help as well. And then also, make your evaluations more structured and more objective. Use objective data. And just because it's a number doesn't mean it's objective. So patient SAT scores, racist, sexist, right? But guess what? If you know the degree to which they're racist and sexist, you can curve for that. Nobody says you don't have to curve for that when you're evaluating people. The other thing too is if we see more women in typically agentic careers, our perception of those careers, what makes a neurosurgeon, what makes a midwife, are gonna change. Also, practice thinking positively about people who transgress norms. So if somebody sets up like a cognitive distortion for you and makes you feel really weird for whatever reason, take them out to lunch, be their friend, you know, follow them on Twitter. Get familiar with that, because that's what helps. And then also, you can anonymize evaluations, right? So if you're evaluating all the docs in your department, at least the stuff that can be anonymized, do that separately, then do the non-anonymized stuff, and then compare those, and if you find a systematic bias, nobody says you can't correct for that, right? But the one thing, you know, no matter which of these actions we choose to take, it's completely unacceptable to not take some action. Thanks very much.